This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah. We seek Allah's guidance, we seek His protection, we seek His forgiveness. And we bear witness that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final prophet and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and reminds us in the Quran time and time again to have taqwa, to be aware, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord and Master and Creator, and the one watching over us at all times, and the one that we will return to. Let us ensure that the angel of death does not come upon us except that we are in a state of submission to Allah, doing what He commanded and staying away from what He prohibited. That is taqwa. Continuing with our theme of understanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and especially highlighting his rights upon us. In our last month together, we looked at a case study of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What it was that he did that allowed him to earn such a lofty status, a noble position. And it was in fact because of his care and passion to deliver the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him. Part of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of growing in our appreciation for him, is to look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his own family. We often talk about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we must understand that he has rights upon us. So continuing with this idea of case studies, let us look at another case study today of someone who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but continued and followed up that emotion with deliverance of rights, upholding the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we continue, why is this important to begin with? Unfortunately and sadly, it's becoming common nowadays that there is a lack of appreciation. There is a lack of understanding of the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. And when there is deficiency in that appreciation and love and understanding and attachment, what happens is it becomes very easy to dismiss a teaching of Rasulullah. That deficiency, what it leads to, it leads to a weakness in the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that gap, unfortunately, gets bigger and bigger. That, coupled with a lot of false information that is disseminated nowadays, a lot of selfishness, narcissism, arrogance, the diseases of the day, that's not making it any easier. So it's important for us to dedicate our times together and our conversations and our khutab and our classes and our discussions So we can remind one another of the position and the status that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam should hold in our hearts and minds and lives and practices. We don't need to look any further today than Khadija binti Khuwaylid, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As a matter of fact, the wife that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was married to for the longest period of time. And the only wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that gave birth to children that survived and lived after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khadija binti Khuwaylid was a noble woman. As a matter of fact, in her lineage crosses paths with the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his fifth grandfather, whose name was Qusay. And Khadija came from a noble family in Mecca, a respected family. And she lived and grew up in Mecca in this shade of nobility and respect and honor. Before being married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was married to her first husband, and they had one son together, and that man passed away. She then remarried for a second time, and they had another son and a daughter, but that second husband also passed away. And Khadija found herself being widowed twice in a row, yet the proposals continued to come in. And that in and of itself is an important lesson for us. Oftentimes, individuals who have gone through a divorce or whose spouses have passed away, they find it extremely difficult within our community to remarry, especially if it was a woman. That was not something that you found at that time and place. That was a positive attribute of that community and that society, that they didn't have this stigma. And so a woman whose husband had died or who had gone through a divorce was still someone that was sought after for marriage. And that's a positive thing, and that's a healthy aspect of a community. May Allah rid our communities of unnecessary and unhealthy stigmas. But Khadija did not want to accept any of these proposals that came to her. Rather, she wanted to find someone really special and noble. At this time, she was successful in her trade and in her business. The people of Mecca, the people of Quraysh, they made their living through the work of business. How? They would have caravans that would travel to Al-Sham and Al-Yemen, the Levant and Yemen. And it pains us just to mention those names and think about all of the suffering and injustice and oppression that is taking place in those lands. We beg Allah to rescue our brothers and sisters in those oppressed lands. Holy lands, but lands that are darkened by oppression and evil. We recognize that Allah is the most wise. We recognize that Allah is the most strong. Al-Qawiyyul Aziz. And so we recognize that although we do not understand a lot of the conflict that takes place, we maintain our hope and our connection to Allah, and we beg Allah to uplift this oppression from our brothers and sisters. So they would travel to these two lands and they would trade. And Khadija was a businesswoman and she had items to sell and to buy. But unfortunately, she was unable to find someone trustworthy with her business and with her wealth. Each time she would send someone, they would return back with less profit, or some wealth had been lost, or it had been stolen, or they told her, your product was not as valuable as you thought. And she was skeptical about the truth of these claims. So she was looking and searching for someone trustworthy and skilled, and she was directed to go and hire Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They said, this is a young man in Mecca and he's trustworthy and he's honest. And so she offered him the job. And he accepted. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not have been older than in his early 20s at this time. He was definitely younger than 25, early 20s. But yet he was responsible and mature. And she sent with him Maysara, a helper of hers, to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this journey. And as they traveled, before reaching their destination, they had stopped in a township to take some rest. And everyone found themselves a tree to rest beneath. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had not received revelation yet, found a tree in the distance away from everyone else and took rest beneath that tree, laid his eyes to rest and took a nap. A man had observed him from one of the neighboring buildings and came rushing out. But this wasn't any ordinary man. This man was a priest. He was a learned man. He was a learned man of the Christian tradition. And he came running out. He came running out and he started looking at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, suspiciously, observing him. When Maysara saw this, he got up and he said, "What do you want with my travel companion? What's your problem?" The man's name was Buhayra. Buhayra said, "No one sits under this tree except that they are a Nabi, a prophet, and they will receive revelation." And this is the first time anyone in that community of Mecca or Quraysh heard such words. This was a foreshadowing event that illustrated the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet and messenger. And this man, Buhayra, he said, "We have record of this in our books, at-Tawrah wal-Injil. We have record of a messenger coming, and we have been observing this tree to see who will sit beneath it." They continued their journey, they engaged in their business transactions, and Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam returned back to Mecca with Maysara. And the trip was successful. Their profits were large. Everything was safe. Khadija was impressed. And so she asked him to do it again. And she continued employing him in her trade and in her business. And Maysara mentioned to her what he had witnessed of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's character, of his honesty, of his skill in business and in interacting with people. And she was very impressed. And so when she decided that she was interested in remarrying for a third time, she asked one of the women who was related to her by the name of Nafisa. She said, "Go and approach this man Muhammad and mention my name to him and see what he says." And so Nafisa went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned Khadija and praised her and asked him if he was interested in marrying her. And he agreed. And they got married. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old and she was 40 years old. And they were married and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had still not received revelation yet. And they lived together and he continued to work for her in her business. And they were a noble and respectable family in the society of Mecca. Until the time came of revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 40 years old. She was 55. They had been married for 15 years. They had children together. Some of those children got married. They had sons and daughters together. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy engaging with the Meccan society in their idolatry and in their pagan worship. He used to seclude himself in a cave in one of the mountains of Mecca. And it was in that cave that Jibreel came to him in the form of a man. Strange and unknown figure. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know who this was. And he commanded him to recite. He said, "I don't read or write." He commanded him a second time. The Prophet responded with the same answer. He commanded him a third time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma aqra, what do you want me to read?" He was squeezing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hatta balaghul jahd, until Rasulullah could hardly breathe. And then Jibreel said to him the first words of the Quran that were revealed, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was terrified. He was scared. So he ran out of that cave. And what did he see? He saw Jibreel, but this time in his original form. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes to us that Jibreel كان له 600 جناح. He had 600 wings that filled the horizon ما بين المشرق والمغرب. Rasulullah would look up, he would see this figure of Jibreel. He would look to his right and see the wings of Jibreel. Look to the left, he would see the wings of Jibreel. It was a terrifying experience. أغمِيَ عليه brought the Prophet ﷺ down to his knees. When he regained his strength, he ran down. And ran where? He ran back to his home. He ran back to his wife and his family, Khadija. And he said to her, I'm scared. Zammiluni. Get me a blanket, cover me, wrap me. And she did so. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a strong and brave man. But he experienced a terrifying experience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to express his feelings and his emotions in his household to his wife, to his family. And she was there to support him and comfort him. There is nothing manly about being a hard rock in the house. And there is nothing womanly about being insensitive and unaware of a husband's emotions and emotional state. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his emotions and Khadija recognized and comforted him. If there is a marriage where a husband cannot comfortably express his emotions and cry, then that's a marriage that needs marriage therapy. And if there is a marriage where a wife is not being supportive of the husband and not allowing him to express his emotions in that way, then that's a marriage that needs marriage therapy. And if there is a wife that does not feel safe or comforted or valued in her household, then that is a sick marriage that needs therapy. When you're sick, you go to the doctor. When your marriage is sick, you need to go to the marriage therapist. But that's another taboo in our community for reasons I find hard to understand. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's household and his marriage was healthy. He can express his emotions and she offered the necessary support. I'd like to encourage you all to please come forward. We've got a lot of our brothers that need space. So come forward and fill up all the spaces here. Not only did Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha comfort Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that moment of fear and stress and anxiety, but she believed in him. Amanat. She believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so she fulfilled that first right of believing in Rasulullah as a messenger from Allah. And that rendered her the status of the mother of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, and I would love for everyone to internalize and remember, this is in the Quran. This is a speech of Allah. An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Allah says the messenger of Allah has more rights upon you than even your own self. Rasulullah is more important to you than even your own wants and needs. And his wives are your mothers. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is our mother. She is the mother of the believers. To love the mothers of the believers is to love Rasulullah. To love the mothers of the believers is in essence a manifestation of iman. شُعْبَةٌ مِّن شُعَبِ الْإِيمَانِ. To love the family of Rasulullah
is a branch of faith of Iman. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget that the companions of Rasulullah, and especially his family and his household, are extremely valuable to us. And Khadija not only is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only she is his wife and she is the mother of the believers, but she is the first of the believers. And she accepted Iman and believed in the Messenger before any other man or woman. And that is a high and praiseworthy status. Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. She continued to support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after revelation, if not more than before revelation. Because now the going got tough. It's one thing to have a healthy marriage when everything is easy and nice. But a true test to the health of a household and of a relationship is when there is pressure. And there was a lot of pressure. Just to give you one example. The daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya and Kulthum. One of the attacks that the mushrikun of Quraysh did against the Prophet ﷺ is they forced the husbands of these two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ to divorce them and send them back to the house of Khadija as a means of bringing upon shame to that household. But Allah had a better plan. They both got married to Uthman ibn Affan, one of the greatest men to walk this earth. Someone who the angels are shy from. So they plan, and Allah plans. And Allah is the best of planners. But imagine the stress and the pressure that that brought upon the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet she continued to support him until she returned back to Allah at the age of 65. 25 years of marriage. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 50 years old. And it was one of the saddest years in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A year of sadness. How much he loved Khadija. How important she was for him in his life. How painful it must have been when she passed. At one time Khadija was approaching the house with some food. And Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Khadija is coming now, بِإِنَاءٍ فِيهِ طَعَامٍ أَوْ إِدَامٍ أَوْ شَرَابٍ. Khadija is coming now and she has a container with something for you to eat or drink. فَأَقْرِئْهَا. So say to her, from Allah, وَمِنِّي السَّلَامِ. Give her greetings of salam, of safety and security from Allah and from me. And inform her that being prepared for her now is her house in Jannah. She will have no anguish or no difficulty in that house. Khadija is from the dwellers of Jannah. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I have never been jealous of any of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as I was jealous of Khadija, even though I never saw her. But how much the Prophet used to talk about Khadija, and how much he would appreciate and mention her praiseworthy traits. And Aisha says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان يأتي بالشاة. He would bring a whole sheep, and he would slaughter that sheep, and he would distribute it to the friends and relatives of Khadija. Even though she had already passed, but he didn't forget about her. And he continued showing kindness to her friends and relatives. And one time a woman approached the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah heard her voice, he jumped up in excitement. And he said, Allahumma hala, Allahumma hala. He said, by Allah, I think this is hala. Who is hala? Hala binti Khuwaylid, the sister of Khadija. It was said that her voice resembled the voice of Khadija. Just hearing the voice of his sister-in-law reminded him of his beloved wife. How much Rasulullah loved and cherished and remembered his wife. That was our messenger. And that was his wife who believed in him and who supported him and who cared for him. And that is our mother, Khadija binti Khuwaylid, radiallahu ta'ala anha. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. The battle of Badr took place a couple of years after the Hijrah. And after the battle was done, there were 70 prisoners of war that the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims had captured, as is the nature of battle and warfare. But some of these soldiers were actually forced to be in that battle. They did not themselves want to be there. And so they did not necessarily exert force in trying to fight or kill the Muslims. And that was taken into consideration during their imprisonment. And amongst them was a man by the name of Abu al-As. And Abu al-As was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We mentioned two daughters of Rasulullah, that divorce was imposed upon them to try and attack the household of Rasulullah in Mecca. There was a third daughter by the name of Zainab, and her husband was Abu al-As. And although he was not a believer, but he was honest and he fulfilled his promise to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wa'adni wa wafa." He promised me and he kept his promise. And he did not harm Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he was forced to be there with the army of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr, and hence he was captured. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had set certain conditions for these prisoners to be released. If there was a prisoner who was able to read or write, he would have to teach 10 from the Muslim community to read or write. And that would be his freedom. Or if they were not able to, they had to bring 4,000 dirham as ransom. And so the people of Quraysh started sending whatever they had. A package came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was said to him, "This is the ransom for Abu al-As." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was moved, because he knew that nobody in Mecca cared to release or ransom Abu al-As except his wife, who was the daughter of Rasulullah, Zainab. She was still in Mecca. And so the Prophet ﷺ opened the package and extracted from it a necklace. And when he saw this necklace, he began to cry and cry and cry. And he said, "Atadruna ma hadha?" He said to the companions, "Do you know what this is?" He said, "Hadha iqdun." He said, "This is a necklace. Ahdathu Khadija li Zainab fi laylati zafafiha." He said, "This is a necklace that my wife Khadija gave to our daughter Zainab on the night of her marriage. This is all that Zainab has to ransom her husband." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested, and he's the leader, but he requested from the Sahaba to make sure that it would not bring any ill feelings. He said, "In shi'tum, if you allow me, return this gift back to her and allow Abu al-As to go." And they approved. The Prophet ﷺ was so moved. He took this necklace and placed it against his face and smelled it. And it brought back memories of his wife and his daughter. And they allowed Abu al-As to go. But the Prophet set a condition that when he reaches Mecca, he sends Zainab, he sends the daughter of Rasulullah to Medina. And Abu al-As promised, and he kept his promise. وَعَدَنِي وَوَفَى. He promised the Messenger of Allah and he kept his promise. This was the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for his wife. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was as a husband and as a father. And Khadija clearly shows to us how she was as a wife and as a supporter. She loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she fulfilled the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She loved him, she believed in him, and she supported him. And we love our mother Khadija, and we love our messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us follow her example in loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in supporting the sunnah and the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in believing in him a full and complete and unwavering loyalty and belief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love the family of Rasulullah, and love the companions of Rasulullah. May Allah unite us with them in the highest levels of Jannah. May Allah beautify us and adorn us with the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah unite us with our messenger in the highest levels of Jannah. May Allah allow us to drink from his hand a drink after which we will never experience thirst ever again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth clearly as truth and to follow it. And to show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and to allow us to stay away from it. And we beg Allah to protect us from confusion that would lead us astray. Oh Allah, grant us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter. And protect us, oh Allah, from the torment of the hellfire. Before we close, a reminder for tonight's program, a continuation of Ash-Shama'il, the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will take place tonight at 8 p.m. It will be my honor to be with you for that program. And an early heads up that we will have our annual Ramadan Quran competition. So start preparing for that from now. And finally, IIOC has released their Hajj group and Hajj package. And you will find the flyers. They will be accompanied by our local imams and scholars. Please do your best to take heed of these reminders and all others on your way out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sincerity and the success to follow and take advantage of the best opportunities we have available to us. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkurullaha al-'azim al-jalil yadhkurkum washkuruhu 'ala ni'amihi yazidkum wa ladhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un.